This is the Shelley Irwin Show podcast from WGVU for Tuesday, March 10th, 2026. Today, First Tracks, Michigan's Skiing Legacy, Grand Rapids Civic Theater's 100th season, Grand Rapids LGBTQ plus healthcare consortium, COVID-19 in high-risk kids, and sump pump and drain preparation for spring. All coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast from WGVU.
Mike Ponish on the line. Here's your headline. A Michigan film wins an award from the International Skiing History Association. Let's bring you into this world to discuss this First Tracks Michigan's Skiing Legacy. We're still thick in the ski season, I trust. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Shelley?
I'm doing fine. Yes, well, we could be skiing here in Michigan, maybe even as much as a couple weeks in March, but I know we're getting to the wire. Tell me about the Michigan Snow Sports Industries Association.
Okay, Michigan Snow Sports Industries Association is a trade association that that represents the interests of the ski and snowboard areas of Michigan and the ski and snowboard shops of Michigan. We market the ski industry, try to get people to start skiing, keep skiing. Like you said, winter is kind of winding down, but we've still got plenty of winter left. We'll be skiing in Michigan through early April, most likely.
But thank you for that. So here we are. Is this a little known fact that Michigan is the birthplace of organized skiing in the U.S., Mike?
That is correct. The Upper Peninsula of Michigan, the Norwegian settlers that came up there working in the iron mines, started using it as a utility and then found that it was fun and started doing ski jumping and realized that they could organize competition. And that's exactly why the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Hall of Fame is located in Ishpeming.
Well, we're all part of this great state to boot. All right, let's bring the film industry into our conversation. What's been happening when it comes to this collaboration?
What do you mean exactly by this?
Yes.
The collaboration?
Yes, let's talk to me about the 18-minute film that provides some compelling and interesting facts about the development of the ski industry. Tell us about First Tracks Michigan Ski Legacy.
Sure. Yeah, so Michigan Snow Sports Industries Association and our nonprofit called My Snow, which their mission is to preserve the past of Michigan skiing and ensure the future. So along with MSIA and MidwestSkiers.com, we put together this film to tell the story because many people don't know what the story of Michigan skiing is. And by doing so, we came up with this great storytelling format with MidwestSkiers.com, who was the film studio that put it together. And it tells the story of a young girl who has to write a paper about what she did over winter break. And so she's a passionate skier, and her grandfather's a passionate skier, so she calls her grandfather up to tell the story of Michigan ski history. And she researches and learns about it and finds all the interesting facts and all the firsts that have happened in Michigan and one of the reasons why Michigan is such a good skiing state.
And this is kind of cool. Will the film be honored at the U.S. Ski and Snowboard History Celebration come April?
That's right. We are going out to accept an award. It was recognized by the ISHA to recognizing that we are preserving history and sharing a good story. We were up against a bunch of other good films, and several have been honored. And we will be in Snowbird, Utah at the end of our middle part of April to accept the award alongside a lot of other national contenders.
That's cool. Executive director of your MSIA on the line, Mike Panich, looking at, of course, a wonderful film, First Tracks Michigan Skiing Legacy. How would you describe the legacy of Michigan skiing? I guess that's a backward way to ask the question.
The best way I could describe Michigan's legacy of skiing is that we have created a bunch of skiers. Some of the best skiers in the world come from the Midwest, and we've had several come from Michigan. We are a very welcoming industry to all types. It is not an elite sport. It's something that's geared for everybody. Anybody can do it. You don't have to have all the fancy equipment. And having this history here, there are so many places. I think the statistic is that you're never any more than 2 hours away from a ski hill in the state of Michigan,
yes.
Which is a really cool opportunity. You can not have to travel very far. We, you know, teach hundreds of thousands of people how to ski. And, you know, it's just a great place. And if you think about it, this is it's a history and culture in most of our state to get out and play in the winter. Yes. And this watching the movie, I believe, is inspiring. It's interesting. There's so many different things that you'll learn that you didn't expect to come from Michigan, such as the creation and invention of snowboarding that started here. The whole movie tells a great story. It's very quick to digest, and you can check it out either at our website, GoSkiMichigan.com, or search for First Tracks, the Michigan Skiing Legacy on YouTube.com.
It's very cool, as we should be watching what's in our own backyard. How did you, I'll just say, cast a curious young student and her ski history savvy grandfather? Are these skiers, actors, or what's more behind the scenes here?
They are skiers. So the grandfather is played by our former chairman of our board, Steve Kirshner. He's a longtime ski industry professional here in Michigan. Served as the director of skiing at Shush Mountain Shanty Creek Resorts for 30-plus years. So he's a passionate skier and good ski historian himself, and is part of our My Snow Board. And then the young girl is the daughter of one of the producers of the film from MidwestSkiers.com, who is also a passionate skier. So everybody in the film is all about skiing, and it's all Midwest-made, local. And just really, it's a great story, and it's great format, and like I said, very easy to digest because it's only 18 and a half minutes long, and it just tells a wonderful story.
Yes, thank you for that. Good that it's not just actor portrayed. Yes, I like this. Grab a cup of coffee, carve out 18 minutes, and take a little pride in the state that helped, as you've been mentioning, shape American skiing. The future of your wonderful organization, Michigan Snow Sports Industries Association. I mean, you were formed in 1991, so good things happening so far.
Absolutely. The organization is very strong and healthy. Our industry is healthy. We have, we've had some great winters. Our biggest concerns are our weather, climate change, and making sure that we get people coming out and skiing at our slopes. So we encourage everybody to believe that Michigan does have snow now. And even if you're outside of our state, or if you're in the southern part of the state and there isn't any snow on your ground, there's plenty up north. Every one of our areas is still open, crushing it, having a great time. They bounced back after the warm-up that we had, our fall spring, and we are back in the dead of winter. Get out and ski and have a great time.
Bet. What's your choice? Are you a skier, snowboarder, cross-country skier, snowshoer, or all of the above?
I do all of the above, but I'd say alpine downhill skiing is probably my go-to.
There we are. Well, it also helped to have a little bit of a winter Olympics in our own backyard for a bit as well to get excited about this season. All right, one more time, how best to see the film, please?
Check out GoSkiMichigan.com. It's right on the homepage, or go to YouTube.com and check and look for First Tracks, the Legacy of Michigan Skiing.
Wonderful. It's award-winning, honored at the U.S. Ski and Snowboard History Celebration in Great Utah, but glad you'll be back to Michigan. Thank you, Executive Director Mike Panish of the wonderful MSIA. Take care.
Thank you for having me.
I'm glad that we are here to talk about Grand Rapids Civic Theater, your 100th anniversary coming around the corner. You're sparkly today. I wish you would have brought your dog, Nadia Skidmore. Good morning.
Good morning. That was one heck of an intro, friend. Yeah. I would say the theater maxes all in terms of well-known in notoriety over over the We Humans. But thank you so much for having me. Yeah, a centennial season. Can you believe it?
It is hard to believe, but yet look at the good work that's been happening and will happen over the next 100 years.
That's true. Yes. That's true. And you've been a part of it. So hopefully maybe this is a season that you get to come back.
I you know, there might be a role for Shelley.
I think there could be. I think there could be. You know, I don't get to make any of those decisions, but I will. I can, you know, I'll help speak that into the universe for you. Yeah.
This is my theater, but there's nothing like, yes, I was in Diary of Anne Frank back in, way back when, or earlier days, and Bruce Tinker, your director, and more. So, but Nadia, thank you for the good work you do. All right, how big of an announcement has this been?
Pretty huge. One, because our centennial announcement included, I think, what a lot of folks thought were a lot of surprises, and it is also quite large in terms of the number of things we're producing within a single season. We didn't really change the start and end dates of the season. We just jam-packed it with a ton of familiar favorites that we're referring to as legacy productions that are making their return to the Grand Rapids Civic Theater stage, as well as some inaugural productions that are brand new for us and that are new releases. So that's very exciting.
And yet, this season continues.
Oh, yes, absolutely. This season is still going. In fact, we still have a little bit left to go of The Lightning Thief, and then after that, we have Dial M for Murder at the end of April and beginning of May, and then we close out the season in June with Legally Blonde, and then that's kind of when the official centennial begins, is right after that.
Nice. All right, Nadia, you have time to share with us your highlights.
Well, let's talk about it. So we are actually opening up our centennial season with the beautiful Tony Award-winning musical called Come From Away. And if you have not heard about it before, it is absolutely something that I think your listeners would love. It's based on the true story of the time of when Gander, Newfoundland played host to the world on September 11th, 2001, in which their 9,000 population community turned into 16,000 over a handful of days when 38 planes landed in that community. And so it's a style of theater that's called ethnography, where the words that are sung and the words that are spoken are based on interviews from the people that actually experienced those times, which is really, truly extraordinary. And so, you know, I've heard people say, oh, so it's a story about 9/11. And what I heard someone respond to once was, actually, it's a story about 9/12. And where we go from here, and what does community mean, and how do we lift one another up, and how do we play host to strangers as our world changes. So it's a beautiful, beautiful story. And then we welcome back Dragons Love Tacos, which is a returning production. Another very big returning production for us is our holiday show, which is Annie.
Yes,
yes, it is making stage appearance.
You can play
five.
Annie.
Oh, could I? Because my red hair. I am much more of a Miss Hannigan, and I have been on the Civic stage before and the Circle stage. It's absolutely one of my favorites, and certainly, you know, it's a story for the ages, right? It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. Annie is relatable and joyful, so it'll be a great show for the holiday season, for certain. And then we kick off 2027 with A Chorus Line, such a beloved show, a legacy production for us. It was first produced at Civic in 1986 and again in 2006. When the theater had freshly reopened after its big renovation and the renaming of the Meyer Majestic Theater. But it's a very, very special one, and all about, you know, the love and sacrifices that we make as theater artists. Then another one of our inaugural productions in February and March, Dear Evan Hansen, yeah, which may be familiar. Yeah. And then something that's going to be really exciting for us and very fun. We're doing a collaborative program for all of the School of Theater Arts programs with Finding Nemo Jr. But it's going to be presented as a main stage production, which will be very exciting.
And it's an hour.
It is. It's an hour, so it's perfect for families. And then after that, we have the beloved Thornton Wilder play, Our Town, which, if you can even imagine, Our Town made its debut on the theater stages about a year before The Wizard of Oz was made. So if you think about how timeless that story is, That's pretty extraordinary.
And was it first produced at Civic in 1940?
Yes. Yes, it sure was. And so 1940, again in 63, and then 87 in 2010. So this is going to be the fifth time that'll be on the stage. So that's very exciting. And then closing out the season in June with another legacy production with the return of Les Miserables, which we're very honored to do. Not very many theaters are getting the opportunity to do it in these current times, and we're just delighted to be able to do so. So we have those main stage shows. We also have an incredible community block party on September 27th that will be free to everyone. And then a big gala in the spring of 2027 in May at Frederick Meyer Gardens. We're just thrilled.
You should be. Nadia Skidmore with us again, all over it when it comes to the announcing of the 100th anniversary of course, Grand Rapids Civic Theater. You continue to present us with your Pick Your Price Wednesdays?
Yes, absolutely. So every single show that is not Finding Nemo Jr. will have some element of Pick Your Price. So Dragons Love Tacos, the entire run will be Pick Your Price, which is very exciting. That runs from October 8th through the 18th. And then also our other shows will have some element of Pick Your Price Wednesdays happening as well.
Yes, and you serve some drinks and libations
occasionally? We do. We have not set our dates for that yet. However, what I can tell you is that if you are interested in getting a season ticket package, we have brand new reimagined ticketing packages this year. A nice perk of being a season ticket holder is that you are able to exchange your dates. So if you pick your dates now and you pick your seats and then you decide, oh, this is when I can come and have a nice glass of wine or a beer, you just call up our box office or go online into your account and you can readjust your seats for a different day once those are announced.
Nadia, there's nothing like live theater.
There's not, friend. There's really not. And in these times, we really need it, right? We use it as a way to escape. We use it as a way to celebrate. We use it as a way to process, whether that be situations that have happened in our past. For example, you know, I never processed my own 9/11 experience until Come From Away. And I had a moment where I was listening to the cast recording in my car and I had to pull over in order to process how emotional it was. And that was, gosh, 15 years later. Yeah. So yeah. It's pretty incredible.
There's the tease on the emotion from the seat. The Lightning Thief continues through March 15th.
It sure does. It sure does. And what an extraordinary group of young people are hitting the stage in that show and just doing really wonderful work. The young people on that show are on that stage in that show are absolutely the future of our theater community.
All right, you have a big year ahead of you and so fun to prepare now. Details one more time on how to find out more information about your lineup, please.
Yes, so you may go to grct.org. There's going to be a big banner right on the front page there that says all about the Centennial, and you're going to go ahead and click that. It's going to give you the rundown of everything that we have coming. You can check out what our different ticket packages are. We've got a main stage ticket package, a full season package, and also a family package as well.
There would be no excuse.
That's right, especially this coming year.
Nadia Skidmore, Director of Marketing and Communications, actor and more. Thank you for this tease. Looking forward to, well, day by day, but for sure the next season. Take care.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Grand Rapids LGBTQ plus healthcare consortium has launched an adolescent and youth sexual health toolkit. Yep, we talk about it. Part of life, as they say. Doug Booth, you in the House, board president, big job you have for what? Organization been around 5 years, almost six. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Shelley. And I do want to say, before we get started, I want to thank you because you were an early local voice in the media to discuss transgender issues. And that visibility really mattered back then when very few, if anyone, were talking about it, especially in West Michigan. And that visibility still matters today. So thank you.
We inform, we educate, we entertain. So that meets the mission. There we are. Appreciate you. But we dig in to your issues of healthcare for all. Tell me about the consortium.
So yeah, the Grand Rapids LGBTQ Healthcare Consortium started in 2020, and we are really dedicated to removing barriers and increasing access to healthcare for the broader LGBTQ population around West Michigan.
And we're talking about a toolkit. Digging into this, what inspired your consortium to create this toolkit?
So we actually, this is our fifth toolkit, but this one is focused on adolescent sexual health. And it really is a tool that is utilized to help parents, youth, medical providers on what adolescent youth is, or what adolescent sexual health it really needs to know. And so we formed this toolkit in three separate pathways, depending on who's approaching it. You can, if you are a youth, you can come in and pick what topics you want to look at, how to bring this up with your health care provider, how to have conversations with your parents, the information you may need to know that you may not have outright, especially within the education system. If you're a parent or caregiver, it has tools on how to bring this up with your child, how to bring this up with their provider, as well as if you are a healthcare provider, you know, the legal basis to talk about sexual health with adolescents and, you know, all of those healthcare concerns that they need to be aware of, especially if they are a part of the LGBTQ community.
Doug, how does this toolkit help parents and caregivers talk with young kids about sexual health?
Well, it really helps remove some of the stigma around what sexual health looks like. You know, it provides those entryways to bring this topic up and really ensure that we're doing it in an evidence-based way. All of our toolkits have their citations. We have our science-backed resources so that, you know, if there is questions about what this toolkit actually provides, you can go right to the source if you want to. On top of that, it also is going to ensure that parents, guardians, that they understand the broader implications of sexual health for adolescents.
And hence, this supports the honest conversations among youth parents about topics that are often avoided. There we are. Takes you back to eighth grade, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Not before, I guess.
Absolutely, you know, and it was something that when I was back in that age, I didn't have this kind of information. And so it was something that I had to really kind of explore the deep crevices of the internet to try and figure out what adolescent health looked like in that sexual realm. And so we really want to ensure that that stigma is erased and that we bring this to the forefront so that it is part of everyday conversations.
Some of this in repeat, but remind us why reliable health information is especially important today for adolescents.
Well, unfortunately, we're seeing a ongoing, I would say, gap in terms of what education is being provided within the school systems and what people need to know. And so this toolkit really does bring the science evidence forward and ensures that we have the tools we need.
Does that include the population of LGBTQ plus?
Absolutely. It really, you know, that is our primary focus, and it is something that we want to ensure. You know, even locally, we've seen the Department of Justice investigate certain school districts because they talked about gender identity or sexual orientation. And so it is something that we want to ensure that those youth in particular have this tool to utilize and lean into, you know, fill those gaps within education, especially if they can't bring it up within the formal education systems.
Yes, Doug Booth with us, board president of the Grand Rapids LGBTQ plus healthcare consortium, this adolescent and youth sexual health toolkit available. So you're looking at the kit available for youth and adolescents, parents and caregivers, and healthcare teams. Let me ask you, how can healthcare providers right here in West Michigan use this in their work?
So the toolkit has a lot of different topics for healthcare providers. You know, some of the questions that they should be asking around sexual health that may not be, you know, the default, especially for the LGBTQ population. We also have the legal concerns. You know, we know that there are going to be times that the adolescent needs to talk about their sexual health and they may not be comfortable with having the parent in the room. And so how to navigate that relationship and, you know, gently have that parent exit the room so that the minor can actually have that. Luckily, Michigan is a minor consent state, so anyone over the age of 13 can provide that consent to discuss that with their provider without their parent or guardian in the room. And so we do provide a lot of those legal concerns as well as, you know, some of those healthcare aspects, the healthcare prescriptions, PrEP, PEP, you know, things such as that, birth control, the conversations that should be had at this time in this age, and really ensure that we understand that the evidence is behind this toolkit.
Doug, is this positive peer-led work extending beyond West Michigan?
Absolutely. As I said, this was our fifth toolkit, and we get to see where this is being accessed. So it's not only being accessed here in West Michigan, but it's actually being accessed around the world. We see a lot of people accessing these toolkits from Africa, from Europe, from around the country. You know, we really want to ensure that this is a universal toolkit, that it is not something that is only specific to West Michigan, but truly applicable to youth around the world.
Is it in its forms moving forward here to stay?
I believe so, yes. Absolutely.
Yes, that's a good answer, yes. What else do we need to know, Doug Booth?
So the healthcare consortium is really working to remove barriers and increase access. We provide a lot of different resources, not just our toolkits. We are having a healthcare conference on May 1st at GRCC, Healthcare Reimagined, to really help providers, nurses, social workers with understanding the landscape that we're in today, especially when it comes to LGBTQ health.
Great. All right. Big question. Where does one access your toolkit online?
grlgbtqhealthcareconsortium.org, and we have the toolkit head link right at the top.
Yes, and of course we can find out more about the consortium via that website as well.
Yes, absolutely. And then we are also on all social medias.
All right. Touching Lives you are. Doug Booth, thank you very much for your time and those involved with the consortium.
Thank you.
Dr. Teresa Whited on the line. She's a pediatric nurse expert with the National Association of Pediatric Nurse Practitioners. That's a big deal, but this is a big deal of our conversation. Why COVID isn't just a bad cold. COVID prevention isn't just about a few missed school days. Let's set you up for conversation. Thank you for your service, Dr. Whited.
Thank you so much.
We're still talking about COVID. What are some of the talking points? Are we still talking COVID-19, especially for the kids and adolescents?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. So COVID-19 is still around. We're still seeing a lot of kids test positive for COVID-19. And the major concerns is that we don't know which kids are going to have severe complications and which aren't. But we do know that kids that have high-risk conditions, like chronic diseases, are definitely at increased risk for more serious complications from this disease process.
From you, the expert, talk about some of the symptoms of COVID-19 and the danger for kids and adolescents.
Sure, absolutely. So common symptoms are fever, cough, congestion, sore throat, fatigue, headache, some body aches, sometimes some vomiting and diarrhea. One thing that's somewhat unique to COVID is that oftentimes they'll get a loss of taste and smell, especially in those adolescent patients. It's estimated that that children 6 months to 23 months of age are at the highest risk for hospitalization from COVID, but also those with chronic conditions. And why it's so dangerous is that when there's those serious complications happen, such as respiratory disease, respiratory failure, myocarditis, MISC and long COVID, that it can land these kids in the ICU, sometimes even needing ventilatory support, or definitely get them hospitalized and they're going to need additional care.
Obviously, prevention key. Let's bring in the conversation of the COVID vaccine. At what age should kids start receiving this?
Yeah, so it is recommended that all children 6 months of age and older get the COVID vaccine annually, just like their flu vaccine. For infants younger than 6 months of age who can't receive the vaccine, we really recommend that mom gets the vaccine either during pregnancy or after pregnancy, and that we vaccinate those caregivers and immediate household contacts to help protect that baby.
Let me ask that question. Is getting the COVID vaccine worse than coming down with the disease?
Absolutely not. We know that the COVID vaccine does cause some mild side effects, but they're usually very short-lived. They're usually a little bit of soreness, localized soreness, fatigue, maybe a low-grade fever. And we know, again, that COVID infection carries the risk of hospitalization, that long COVID and severe kind of other complications, and very rarely death, even in children.
How important is your profession, this National Association of Pediatric Nurse Practitioners, and the care of COVID these days?
So we believe very strongly in promoting vaccinations in all children and keeping them safe, including the COVID vaccine, and especially those children who are high risk. We want to protect those kids. NAPNAP.org provides great information on the COVID-19 vaccine, as well as other vaccine preventable diseases and those disease processes.
Literally, NAPNAP. That's your association. Important to know. What do you leave us with?
Yeah.
What's the action item here as we, continue to be in the midst of perhaps the flu, perhaps the COVID season?
Well, definitely seeking care if you're having an illness, getting tested and getting the appropriate care, but also making sure that you're getting vaccinated against those vaccine preventable diseases like COVID-19, the flu, and others.
All right. Thank you very much. On behalf of the National Association of Pediatric Nurse Practitioners, your skill well awarded, and thank you for your service. Take care to you, Dr. Teresa Whited.
Thank you so much.
You'll learn from my next guest. I'm taking notes, that's for sure. Serve Pro, strong in our own backyard, useful to many homeowners and beyond. Let's talk about preparing our home or business for the spring and summer seasons when it comes to, the sump pump and more. Always a pleasure to have you on the microphone, Mike Nitz. Good that you are here. It was a fun time at the Ada Business Extravaganza on behalf of the ABA. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Directing sales and more. Ted Brummel, you owner of Serve Pro. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
All right.
Thank you for having us.
Gentlemen, there we are. Let's talk about preparation, and it's key. Serve Pro, talk to me, Mike, about your, elevator pitch.
Yeah, so, basically when the unexpected happens to the residents and the business owners here in West Michigan, having a solution to get them back up and running, getting people back in their homes is what we do. Everything from fire, water, the unexpected, the storm damage, we're here to basically make sure, be that resource for West Michigan when those types of events happen. And not only from a remediation, but also offering the reconstruction, getting them made whole again, working and communicating with them side by side.
Yes. Are you busy?
Always busy. There's always something happening on Shirley.
Yes. Ted Brummel, add to that. And is Serve Pro a national organization?
Yeah, so we're all independent franchises across the entire nation and actually into Canada now, too, after the last few years. So we, our franchise, our goal is to provide solutions to people. When you have a disaster happen, most people hopefully have never gone through it before, don't know how to navigate the insurance system, don't know how to navigate putting everything back together, getting it cleaned up. That's our goal, is to provide that solution. It's different for each kind of job, whether it's a water or a fire or a tornado takes your roof off. So our goal is to get people back to where they were, do the full service, make sure they have the reconstruction done. And if sometimes it's just finding people to help them, even if it's not us.
Your website is Serve Pro Southeast Grand Rapids. Tell me who your service area is, Mike.
So we basically we're located in Kentwood, in the southeast side of Grand Rapids. Our network extends from there. We're a very relational organization. We have some great relationships with everything from property adjusters, property management, insurance, just word of mouth, the network that we work. So we do go pretty much wherever people need us to go.
And is it safe to say that you're 24/7?
We are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are.
I'll start with you, Mike. Sump pump and drain backup coverage.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this for preventative purposes.
Yeah, sump pump coverage is a tricky thing sometimes because people don't realize it's not an automatic coverage you have on your homeowner's policy. It's an endorsement. And one of the things that we fall short with is estimating what it costs to replace typically your basement, because that's where the majority of your damage is going to happen with a sump pump. the best thing I could really advise your listeners is to have that conversation with their insurance agent about the sump pump endorsement coverage they have on there, and making sure they have adequate coverage to make sure that if they had to tear out their entire lower level of their home, what it would cost to have to replace it. Everything from the remediation and then having everything put back together, and not only the structure, but for your contents, because again, that is an endorsement and it is a selected amount that the insurance agent is offering to their insured.
I introduced this, Ted, this conversation is prepping for spring and summer seasons. Is this the most often time, perhaps, when we have sump pump issues?
Yeah, so we see a lot of that this time of year, especially when you have the rain, you have a lot of snow melt. Sometimes the ground's still frozen, and it pushes the water towards houses, so people's sump pumps are working overtime. Either they fail or they just become overworked and burn out. So this is primarily spring and fall, but spring we really get hit with it hard. People really see a lot of sump pump failures.
Is this the time, gentlemen, to turn our outside spigots on?
This is always a tricky one. I actually had this experience myself. Was out washing my truck in the spring. Thought, man, this water pressure just isn't what it should be. And then I thought, how many customers have said that to me when I show up at their house and they have an outside water break? So I went inside and found water running down a wall inside. So our outside water spigots, typically, especially the newer ones, are frost-free, and the valve is well inside the wall. Those can still freeze, especially if they fail and the water doesn't drain out of them, or if you keep a hose hooked up. And you won't know it until you turn it on, and you won't see it outside. So we get a lot of customers that are power washing, they're washing their cars, they're planting flowers and starting to water their plants. And then they go inside and find out that for the last hour that they've been running water, it's been running into their basement as well.
Mike, check our basement to ensure the pipe hasn't cracked over the winter?
Absolutely. You know, that's the thing I could tell you is when you turn those spigots on for the first time, just take a walk downstairs, make sure things are dry, and just monitor for a while, especially if you've left the hoses attached to the house for all winter. That is a big no-no. That's one of the first things I always advise my client is take the hose away. Try to insulate that spigot from the outside. There are some ways to do that. But just making sure that you're protecting your home those first steps when we start dealing with water. It's sneaky.
Serve Pro with us in our own backyard, located 24/7 to help us with our needs. Speaking with Ted Brummel and Mike Nitz. Tell me, I'll start with you, Mike. We've had wind and we've had tornadoes already. Damages to our home or business. What do we do when the unexpected happens?
Yeah, that's, you've seen the things that are happening down in Union City and Twin Lakes area is, you know, that's the unexpected stuff that we just can't really prepare for from a residential standpoint or from a business standpoint. What are your next steps? Having somebody that you know and trust that can walk you through that process, obviously the human part of it with understanding that these lives have been turned upside down. And their biggest investment has been destroyed. Staying calm, getting a hold of your insurance company, making sure that you have somebody that from a cleanup standpoint and from a reconstruction standpoint, it's somebody that you trust. This is the time right now where you get the contractors that go out and say, sign this contract, we're going to get you taken care of, without really taking an opportunity to vet out your contractor. One of the things that we do and we are proud to say is that we work very well with our insurance adjusters and make sure that we align well with them and making sure that their clients are made whole again. And so that's what I take pride in our crew, and what we do so well is making sure that they're going to be taken good care of. So
you had to take some psychology classes along the way for the good work you do. Ted, add to that?
Yeah, so when it comes to that kind of stuff, we do have a large network that we also tap into. It's not just ServPro. We bring in our subcontractors. If it's a commercial job, industrial building, or a residential home, we can get it boarded up. We can get it safe, make sure that there's not going to be any intrusion from looters or any other people, making sure that, and from that standpoint, the businesses can continue operating, they can move forward, and then we work with the insurance to get it all put back together.
Mike, do you work with water shedding, gutters, and even downspouts here?
This is one of the things I try to educate my clients about, shedding water away from the home. Obviously, this year, with every spring, with the melting of snow, the spring rains that we get, the ground is very saturated. So the goal for the homeowner, the business owner, is to make sure that we're pushing water away from the house, getting it away from the foundation. So this spring, when you start to walk around your house and you start looking for things that may have changed since the last time you look at it, disconnected downspouts, making sure that the water is pushing away, making sure the grade of the home hasn't deteriorated to the point where the water is settling up against the foundation now. It's really important that as a homeowner in the pride of ownership, you address those things, because it will really make sure that you're not having to call us, you know.
It is part of the whole prevention
right.
team. And, of course, Ted, debris cleanup, important on that as well, my leaves and all that good stuff.
Yeah, you see, especially as a home ages, the ground starts to drop next to the house, and it actually creates a trough around the house. And so you start to see that landscape deteriorate, and that then the debris gets in there and it holds that moisture. The best time is in the spring to take a look at that, clean your gutters, get all that kind of gunk that gathers up from the wintertime away from the house, and lift that landscape just a little bit. And it doesn't take much just to push it away from the house. I do a lot of estimates for people who have groundwaters, where they're getting water and they haven't had it before, they don't know where it's coming from, and a lot of it can be traced back to something like this, where gutters aren't clean, downspouts aren't pumping out far enough away from the house, and the landscaping is just kind of cluttered and holding water and pushing water back towards the house instead of away.
Yes. Mike, do you also offer remediation and reconstruction services? I mean, obviously for residential, but you were in the commercial and industrial properties as well.
We do. We are not specific to just residential. Commercial and industrial, there's really not a job that's too big for us to handle. Everything from, again, we fire and water. We've done businesses where we have gutted them out. We try to get them put back together as quickly as we can to make sure that there's minimal interruption to business. That is our goal. We're not a tear it out company. We're a dry it out company, and try to keep people moving forward. And then obviously then making the suggestions for reconstruction. We've done buildings over 100,000 square foot to 700 square foot, depending, you know, again, we treat every customer, every situation, with our SurfPro model that's proven, and making sure that the science that we have behind our drying techniques are used every time to make sure that the clients are ultimately taken great care of, and businesses are and homes are back to normal.
Your home, of course, your investment, and it's your home, so work with the best. What do you end us with, Ted Brummel?
Well, I would just say this spring, just pay attention to your outside water spigots when you turn them on. But if you have an issue, give us a call. If you think you have an issue and you need some help with it and you need a solution for it, give us a call. That's what we do.
Yes. What is that number, Mike?
Yeah, we are local here in Grand Rapids, 616-977-9700. We are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. For somebody like myself to go out and just take a look at something and try to figure out a solution, that's never something we charge for. We want to make sure that we have best solutions and we have a remedy for folks.
Well, I'm glad you didn't get a call in the last 10 minutes. I mean, if you did, I'd excuse you. But check your notes now. Here. All right, one more time, best way to find out more information about SurfPro, please.
Yeah, check us out on our website, SurfProSoutheastGrandRapids.com. We are present on social media, both Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram. We're always trying to put content out there that's about what we do and how we can mitigate, and making sure that there's solutions and remedies out there for folks.
All right. Thanks for your service, Mike and Ted. Appreciate you. Mike and Ted, sounds like a show. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.